Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is sponsored by Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races in West Virginia. Upcoming featured entertainment includes the Steel Woods on April 26th and Little River Band on May 3rd. Details and tickets at HollywoodCasinoCharlestown.com. Must be 21 to enter the casino floor and attend a show. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome to the newest episode of Beyond the Fame with Jason Fraley. I'm your host, Jason Fraley, picking the brains of the top filmmakers, musicians, and artists of our time. Phil Rosenthal, host of the Netflix food and travel show Somebody Feed Phil, cracks up the Warner Theater in Washington, D.C. this Wednesday night. He joined me to preview his live show and reflect on the D.C. restaurants featured in Somebody Feed Phil. He also shares how he created the iconic CBS sitcom Everybody Loves Raymond. Hey, Phil Rosenthal. Hey, thanks so much for joining us on WTOP in Washington, D.C.
Very happy to be with you, Jason.
We're talking because you're coming to D.C.'s Warner Theater Historic Spot on Wednesday, April 17th. Now, before we get to that, remind me, I know that, you know, one of your recent episodes of Somebody Feed Phil, you know, your Netflix series, season 7, episode 2, to be specific, was filmed here in D.C. So remind us some of the food, if you can remember, some of the food and restaurants you hit while you were here.
By the way, one of my favorite episodes we ever did.
Really? And you're not just saying that because you're calling.
I'm really not, because, you know, I usually don't go with an agenda. But I had one scene that I think if I'm going to Washington, D.C. in, this was last year, 2023, what would I want to accomplish on my trip, given I do a food and travel show? Well, what if I could get a Republican and a Democrat to sit and have lunch with me together?
This first time in 40 years.
it was not easy to get this. But then I got two great people, Brian Fitzpatrick, Republican from Pennsylvania, and Pete Buttigieg, our Secretary of Transportation. I mean, it was so great. I just loved it. And the other places we went in DC, I mean, you guys, I don't have to tell you, since you live there, what a phenomenal food town it's become.
Oh, yeah. Jose Andres and so many great chefs have come in and just opened so many great, great places. And just to follow up, a real quick follow up question, where the Republican and the Democrat meal, the coming together and breaking bread, literally, where did that happen? Do you remember the restaurant?
Of course I do. Maquetto. And I'll tell you the other places I went. Hold on. I'm just pulling it up here because I want to get everything. In Georgetown, I did like a little walking tour, and I went to Yellow to start for breakfast. It's absolutely delicious. They have the best like iced lattes, and then they have these incredible pastries. And then one of the best shawarma pitas I've ever had in my life is there. I absolutely love it. Then we went to Stokowski's Market for a gigantic pastrami sandwich. Some of these places, you know, the bakery Baked and Wired?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Delicious. You know the Indian restaurant. This is old and famous, Rasika.
Of course.
You have to know Ben's Chili Bowl.
I've been there many times.
You know Bread First. Awesome. You know the Mozzeria? Mozzeria? Some of the best pizza in the country, run entirely by deaf and hard of hearing people.
Wow. And this is a big area. This is a big area for the deaf and hard of hearing community, because Gallaudet University is in D.C. and Maryland School for the Deaf is located just out, you know, in Frederick. And so, yeah, it's so you said the deaf community runs the pizzeria.
The whole thing.
That's awesome.
And it is sensational. In fact, the head of the whole thing is a deaf person who was Obama's cook at the White House.
No way.
Chef. Yeah. Absolutely
Oh.
great. And then one of the best Korean restaurants in the country is called Anju, A-N-J-U.
Yeah, they're
That's in the
famous.
show. A Lao restaurant called Tip Cow. And then Makeda with Brian Fitzpatrick and Pete Buttigieg. So all these places, like I only have like a day or so when I come back to Washington on the 17th, but I need to hit at least one or two of these places again. And of course, whenever I travel, I always try to add to the roster by finding a new place. So I'm sure I didn't hit everything. I'm sure I only could scratch the surface in my less than an hour long show. So let's ask our listeners. You can always DM me people at phil.rosenthal on Instagram, and I'm open to suggestion. That's a lot
Yes.
of times how I find stuff is people suggest it to me, and then I cross-reference everything. I just don't go by one review or one person's suggestion unless I know them very well. And that's how you find stuff.
There you go. Hit him up on Instagram and let him know for next time he comes back to DC. Didn't you do some rowing while you were here? Was it on the Potomac or where were you
I
rowing?
did. I did. I rode with the high school team, and I was not very good.
Well, that you said, that they said the old myth when you were kids. You got to let your food settle before you get out on the water. You know
I think you're
what
right. But you have to be in time with everybody, or you get hit in the gut with your oar, which happened to me a few times. Yes.
Yeah, the old oar wounds. Those hurt. All right. Well, so, all right. So that's the episode now streaming. You know, it's season seven, and that's episode two. It's now streaming on Netflix, folks. So check it out. Just all that dropped, I think, all at once on March 1st. I mean, it's relatively new in the last month.
You got it.
All right, so then pivot to the live show then at DC's Warner Theater on Wednesday, April 17th. What is it similar to kind of you know the show? Like, are you talking about some of your favorite places you've been, or is it like kind of more like a stand-up comedy sort of thing, or a Q&A, or what is it?
It's all those things. People ask me, what do you do in a live show? And what I want to tell them is the lights go down, I come on stage, and I eat a sandwich, and then I leave.
Hey, somebody
It's
fed Phil. It's over. Where you
exactly.
can't go
You
anywhere
get
from
what you pay
there.
for. No, it's I have a special surprise guest moderator, especially for Washington, D.C. And I come out and I tell funny stories about everything that's happened to me in my life and, of course, the show. We go into Everybody Loves Raymond a little bit because I created that show.
Course.
And, it's just the funny things that have happened to me that all work their way into the work. And then the second half of the show is all Q&A with the audience. And I'm very good at answering your relationship questions, your problems with your parents, your problems with your kids or your brother. Like me, I have a lot of problems with my brother because he produces our show and tells me what to do. So I have to navigate that.
Oh, so
Oh.
he's in your earpiece. So when it's like someone feed Phil a line, it's your brother.
No, he never does that. He knows better than that. I would rebel if he tried that.
Love it.
But we do get into it on the show. You see us, you see him telling me what to do. Like he wanted me to row longer than I felt like rowing in that episode. Because I got, I rowed for a good half hour and I'm tired. I'm old, And he goes, how about rowing back? I'm like, yeah, come on, you got it. You got enough of me rowing. How much rowing do people want to see? And he thought that they needed more rowing shots. And then, of course, I had to do it.
I'm picturing, maybe because it was just Easter, but I'm picturing that galley and Ben-Hur and your brother's
You
hitting the
got it.
drum in your row.
Yes. And he's the evil Roman.
Oh man. Well, actually,
Yes.
so I'm actually well, that was came out in 59, so I'm slightly a year off. You were actually a 1960 baby in Queens. So you were more of a Spartacus psycho apartment. You were a La Dolce Vita baby, which is kind of fitting for, you know, your food career. There you
I
go. You're a
love that you
1960.
know all the movies. I'm a big movie nut as well.
Yeah.
And I have movie nights at my house every week. And we watch everything from the newest stuff to last week we watched North by Northwest again. And boy, does that hold up. Have you seen that lately?
Oh my God, it's one of the best. And that's another 1959 one. So that was you were negative one when Hitchcock made that.
But man, is that the most entertaining thing? Yeah, the more years that go by since that movie, the better that movie looks in
It
comparison
is
to everything else.
Totally. I think, I don't think we, this is, I don't know if it's a hot take or not, but I don't think we would have ever gotten, you know, Connery's James Bond or any of that without Cary Grant doing that character and, you know, all those chases and the crop duster and the train rides. Like, I think that sort of was a little bit of a prototype for some of those encounters, if you ask me.
You know what? That's really accurate. I think no Mission Impossible, no, I mean, this thing, it's set pieces, right, that are built into the movie, like the crop dusting scene, like the of course the Mount Rushmore scene.
Yep.
It's, and the way it fits in with a unifying storyline is, I don't think it's ever been surpassed.
I like when he's in the at the auction scene and he realizes the goons are coming to get him, and so he tries he needs to create a disturbance to get out, and he just starts shouting out 500, 1000. It's great. But
so it's great humor too, which a lot of movies forget.
I think you said when you said the word entertaining, I think you nailed it. I think it's Hitchcock's most purely entertaining, like an
Absolutely.
Adventure kind of movie. Now, you know, there's other, I mean, I love Vertigo's might be my favorite. I love Psycho and Rear Window and Notorious and The Birds. There's some, you could go all day, literally.
Yes.
But if you want like
Notorious.
A straight up like entertainment ride, it's North by Northwest is probably.
Because it has everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It really has action, comedy, suspense. And then how about the romance and the sexual innuendo? Like, you can't even believe this is from the 50s.
Oh, the banter on the train car.
Yes.
And then the final shot of, you know, pulling up onto the bunk and the train going through the tunnel. Wink, wink, wink. Innuendo at its finest.
That must have gotten a gigantic laugh in 1959.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Just like when you were born the following year, a gigantic laugh erupts across Queens. This is me trying to get it back on track here, because we could talk movie history all day.
I love talking movies. Why not?
Now, I want to hear, we can sprinkle it in as we go, but I want to hear, so you know, you do high school drama, you go to Hofstra. How do you get to write on, write and produce on Coach? Because, you know, Craig T. Nelson, that's one of my favorite shows when I was a kid. I can still immediately, comes right up. But yeah, just talk about sort of that big break. I assume that you would consider that your break, or is it something else?
Well, the first break is the first time you get paid to write on any sitcom, right? Because now you're in the business. And so I did a bunch of shows working for other people for about 3 or 4 years before I got onto Coach. And I had a partner at the time, and we worked on Coach for someone else that whole time. And I came in the middle of that run, and I worked there, I think, seasons 6, 7, and 8. So it was already a well-oiled machine.
Oh, so you're like mid-90s. Okay.
Exactly. And it was during the third year of Coach where my partner and I amicably split up. He went on to do something he was interested in, and I stayed on one more year to establish myself as a solo writer. And during that season, I got a video cassette of a comedian who had just been on David Letterman's show. And from 1 6-minute appearance, David Letterman thought someone should create a show, a sitcom, for this Ray Romano fellow. And so I got very lucky there, too.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S., the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday, so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody loves Raymond. By the way, I love how a few minutes ago, earlier in the interview, you just casually dropped, oh, and by the way, I created Everybody Loves Raymond.
Well, there's nothing casual about it. Yeah. I guess I'm very proud of that. Who gets to do that? I understand that it's a very big deal just to get on the air.
Yeah.
With a show.
Not to mention one of the greatest sitcoms of all time. It ran from 96 to 05. And just some of the writing and the family dynamics were amazing. We'd be here all day if we talk about it. So for this question, I'm going to rapid fire them for you. I'm going to say the cast member and you just say what made him great. So Ray Romano.
Incredible integrity.
Patricia
in addition
Heaton.
To being one of the funniest people in the world.
Yes. How about Patricia Heaton?
Best, and I mean this as a sincere compliment, in the history of sitcoms, I would say she's one of the best people ever to play the wife.
No doubt. Brad Garrett, back on Not Dead Yet as the dad, but Brad Garrett.
One of the single funniest people in the world.
Absolutely. Loved him in Seinfeld, too. All right. Now the rest in peace. The funniest in-law, parent, grandparents probably ever in a show ever. Doris Roberts and Peter Boyle. What made them magic? All-timers.
I'm going to say relatability.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could go on and on about each of these people, but if you're asking me to boil it down to one thing, and I'm guessing that might be the strength of the entire show. When people tell me, you know, the best compliment we'd ever get is you were listening outside our house last night, right? Mm. And we didn't have to, because what you saw was what was happening in our houses. If you worked for me, I would tell you go home, get in a fight with your wife, and come back in and tell me about it. That's where most of the stories were coming from.
Right.
And then our job was to make it, yes, as funny as possible, but also as believable as possible. We didn't want to exaggerate so much that you didn't believe that this could happen. So it's that relatability factor.
It is great. I still remember my grandparents, rest in peace, just cracking up at the bickering between Doris and Peter Boyle. It's just unbelievable. It's you nailed it. It's everybody could relate to that.
Thank you.
It's great. Do you have a favorite? Because I want to remind folks, in addition to your genius writing and creating of these shows, do you have a favorite thing you acted in? Because I know you did. You popped up on, you know, Curb Your Enthusiasm and 30 Rock and Dewey Cox Story, Walk Hard, all that stuff. But do you have a favorite cameo or role that you got to actually be on screen?
I think it was in that Curb Your Enthusiasm where I meet him at a party and I try to convince him to be a guest on Somebody Feed Phil, and he really doesn't want to. But he says how happy he is to see me. So I say, let's have lunch. And then to get out of having lunch with me, he shows up to lunch wearing a MAGA hat.
Which we just heard his thoughts on the former president, Larry David, on social media recently. So, wow, that's hilarious. And but Larry David, though, with, you know, he also did Seinfeld. So, what did you eat? Would it be a soup? Is soup a meal? I guess we should ask you, because you're the Somebody Feed Phil guy. Is soup a meal?
Depends how hungry you are, I guess. For me, it's usually the beginning. But there are times when I've had a very big lunch and I'll just have soup for dinner. Nothing wrong with that.
Depends if there's crackers, I think, is what they told Kenny Banya. But
I think Ray once said, there's really nothing like soup. Nothing in the world like soup.
Yeah.
Well, stew, maybe. Stew is like soup.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly like, I don't know where you draw the, I don't know where you draw the difference.
You always think stew is has a little more meat in it.
I don't know. That sounds like a crock to me. But ba-dum-ba.
Hey.
Hey, slow cooking jokes. So that kind of segues into I'll have what Phil's having on PBS, the predecessor to Somebody Feed Phil.
By the way, it sounds simple when you say it, like it just segued into that. Do you know that from the time Raymond went off the air to the time I got the first Food and Travel show on PBS was 10 years?
Right. That's true. They're not
Some people think that because I did Raymond and had some success there, that they just gave me whatever show I wanted right after that. And that's just not true. Right. I had to really struggle. First of all, nobody wanted any more sitcoms from me because the business had changed drastically during the time we were doing Raymond. They all wanted hip and edgy and sexy shows.
What do you mean by that, though? Like Office and Parks and Rec, that kind of style of like that, rather as opposed to the old, whatever, three camera sitcom, whatever you mean, or?
Well, those were all young, and those shows are phenomenal. I think they're great.
Hilarious.
But remember, they're single camera shows, and everyone on them is young.
Gotcha. So the business was changing. So you're sitting there. Exactly. It's not like they're like, hey, Norman Lear, you created these great shows. Now do a food show. It's not that easy.
No. And so I knocked around for years writing pilots and trying to get another show going. They didn't even want the spinoff to Raymond with the brother and his family.
Yeah.
Because they thought that cast was now too old. Yeah. And they were only in their 40s.
Yeah.
So, I mean, come on. So I after years of frustration, I thought, what if I did this thing that I've had in the back of my mind for years? And I sold the show with one line. I said, I'm exactly like Anthony Bourdain if he was afraid of everything. And PBS gave me 6 on the air. And I did that. And then they didn't. Either couldn't afford the show or didn't want it anymore, whatever it was. It did well, but then thank God Netflix came along. And then we changed the name and changed certain things in the show. And now it's Somebody Feed Phil in its 7th season.
Hard to believe. Well,
I can't believe it either.
Before you left PBS, the I'll have what Phil's having, did you have to clear that with Rob Reiner's mom? Well, I guess I should say Rob Reiner's mom. She was the one that did the line in the deli and When Harry Met Sally. But
she said, I'll have what she's having, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's you can't copyright a phrase, I don't think, or a title.
And I'm really just joking, having an excuse to talk about When Harry Met Sally, like we did North by Northwest. I do not want to get into the legalese of that. I genuinely just think it's like one of the greatest, maybe my favorite rom-com ever. It's hilarious.
That line especially is one of the funniest lines ever. And that's why we wanted to use a take on that line.
Yeah. I think Billy Crystal came up with that. It wasn't in Nora Ephron's script is amazing, but I'm pretty sure Billy Crystal, like they were in the restaurant, you know, and he was like, wait, we should have her say that. And so Reiner fed that to his mom to say. It's classic.
By the way, a lot of people never talk about the influence that the Woody Allen, like Annie Hall in Manhattan, had on that movie.
I'd say the same thing. Yes, absolutely. Like the interviewing, talking to the camera and stuff like that. Absolutely.
All that, even the ending, running to the ending like that.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. It is, you can tell that he was, and the New York setting and the music and all that stuff. You can sort of tell, absolutely, the influence on that, hands down. Well, great. That's awesome. Well, I mean, I could talk old movies with you all day, for sure. But
I love it.
We're here to promote Somebody Feed Phil's, Phil Rosenthal, at DC's Warner Theater, Wednesday, April 17th, and check out the episode too. I guess if you want to plug the show anymore, and other than the DC episode, we hit that pretty good. What other locations do you hit this current season if they fire up Netflix?
Well, there's 8 of them this season, our biggest season ever. I think our best season. We go to Kyoto, pretty spectacular. We go to Mumbai, we go to Taipei, we go to Dubai, we go to Iceland and Scotland. I mean, it's a pretty wide range of cities this year.
Awesome. And folks, just as if in final seconds here, if just in case you needed more accolades, you also, I think, won a Peabody for writing that 9/11 telethon, America, a Tribute to the Heroes. I mean, simulcast.
Well, there were a bunch of us on that. That was
co-writing.
That was an incredible experience, certainly for terrible circumstances. But it was kind of miraculous to gather as a country all in one spot. And this was the telethon that was broadcast on every network and cable station.
That rarely happens.
That's in like, America.
Rarely.
That never happens.
Never. But maybe like the moon landing, you know what I mean? It's like hardly ever.
Yes. And so it was really an incredible honor and thrill to be part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, our city was one of the two major ones hit. Well, we're going to say Shanksville, of course, too. But yeah, that was a day we'll never forget. But adds to the list of all the you've. I'm trying to chart how much of our TV history you've really impacted beyond.
Well,
let's
hope that we never have to do something like that again.
Oh, please, God, no. Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, I don't know how we segue out of that. I guess
the segue is Somebody Feed Phil is not showing you the world the way I wish it was. I really am showing you the world the way it is. It's just not represented much on the news.
Yeah.
most people are beautiful, nice, sweet, generous, loving people in the world.
Absolutely.
The reason you see the opposite on the news is because it's news. It's the extraordinary.
Yes, they're trying to fire people up left or right
yeah.
for ratings, where you're just sitting down and breaking bread at tables, man, and that's the real deal. So everybody...
And most of the world is that way and wants to live that way.
I agree entirely. Well, tune in to Somebody Feed Phil on Netflix to see, you know, slice of life examples of all those, the real folks out there. And yeah, and get your tickets to Warner Theater on the 17th. So, hey,
Thank you for doing this.
This was, we covered a lot of, we took some tangents, but.
You can call me anytime just to talk movies. I would love it.
Likewise. Hit me up.
Great.
All right. See you, man.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks so much for listening to Beyond the Fame with Jason Fraley. Our theme music is Scott Buckley's Clarion. Remember to give us a 5-star rating if you like what you hear. We'll see you next time.